Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone out there. This is August Crenshaw, your host of As a Kid Radio Show. Always happy to be here with you and always happy to see what God is going to reveal in our discussion today. I already kind of gave a heads up last week and nothing changed about that. Today we're going to be talking about health, nutrition, food, diet, healing. It's kind of like everything just jumbled up in one. Now, I don't want to seem scatterbrained on you guys, but I'm going to be very honest with you. There are so many different ways that this conversation can go, and there are so many aspects of it. To be honest, even though I'm not really a series type of chick, I can see this really needing to be a series. But I just want to throw snippets of thoughts out there because, I mean, for those of you that are used to me, I like putting things out there to encourage thought and to encourage research so that we can get beyond just always sitting in the church and being comfortable with the sermon and going home. I'm trying to give people reasons to delve into the scriptures for themselves. But where did this topic come from today? Be honest with you. Almost always, you know it, people, Facebook or a conversation with someone. I had a conversation with a young lady who was like, hey, how do you feel about people being sick in the church and why are so many people sick? And, you know, honestly, I can go very practical or very spiritual, and I still believe that they're both very connected because of what the Word of God says. But I want to basically kind of walk you through some of the things we discussed and, you know, we'll just see whatever else comes out of the conversation. Definitely, if at any time any of you guys want to interject, you want to make a comment, I say something you don't agree with, you want to give a scripture, you want to ask a question, I really would like some feedback on this one because this is a very sensitive topic for many of us. The prompt would be to get me, you push one. That'll prompt me to let me know that you have a question or comment. You know, but going forward, I mean, come on now. We all feel the same way. What's up with all this sickness in the kingdom? You know, whether it's cancer, or it doesn't even have to be that extreme. What about the high blood pressure and the pills and, you know, the diabetes? What's up with all of these different ailments in the kingdom? Especially when you read in the scriptures about so much healing. I mean, when Jesus came out on the scene, I mean, it seems like that's all he did. He went into the temple. It was a man in there with a withered hand. Because he knew the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees were looking at him, he was like, come here, let me heal you. You know, man laying down on the bed. He's like, get up and walk. The lepers, you know, the man by the pool at Bethesda, you know, and the people that let their friends, the paraplegic, down through the roof of someone else's house to get healing. I mean, if you've read the gospel, then all you see is healing. You only see other scriptures that say that they came to him by the multitudes, and it'll say that he healed them all. What about the lady with the issue of blood for 12 years, the one with the issue of blood for 38 years? You know, how they saw the physicians and didn't get help, but when they saw Jesus, they did. So the question is, people in the kingdom, why are we not getting healed? Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. A lot of you may already have your radar up and you're like, oh, well, you know, people are sick, you know, because of sin. I've heard it all. I've been to classes. I've listened to many, many pastors talk about, you know, well, you know, a lot of people are sick because, you know, sin, you know, it lives up in your body and it produces other things. And when you get healed from your sin, you can get healed from your sickness. Now, sometimes there can be a correlation. There are plenty of people who were healed, and God looked at them, and, well, not plenty, but there is an example in the scriptures. Let me correct that, where a person got healed, the paraplegic. And God told him, get up, walk, go, take up your bed and walk. And he said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. So, you know, my thing is if there is an example in the Word of God, then we should not negate that. However, when there's an example in the Word of God, we also should not hold on to that so that we don't find ourselves condemning our brothers and sisters and saying, you know what, the reason why you're sick is because. And think about it. If it's someone that you know, you'll be like, She'd been through a divorce. She probably still bitter to her ex-husband. But you know he cheated on his wife. Or, you know, when we know things about people, then we begin to look at things, and without getting a revelation from the Holy Spirit, we may put on those people the declaration as to why their life is that way. You know, but that's not what God intended. And there are so many other examples. But what I do know is like a leading reason behind God healing someone was because he wanted to do it. And it was, you know, so here we go. Another reason why I've heard people in the house of God are not healed would be because according to your faith, be it unto you. Because there was no belief. But once again, what about the man who wanted his child healed? And Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? And he kept it 100 with him. He said, help my unbelief, right? And Jesus still did it. So lack of faith also cannot be the reason why we look at our brothers and sisters and say, you know what, you're walking around and you're struggling with that disease or that issue because you don't believe. I mean, honestly, if you really look, people, I'm telling you, I love research. I love it when people go back and look for themselves. Go back and read the gospel. Think about how many people got healed by Jesus that didn't even want it. The man that was in the temple with the withered hand did not approach Jesus and say, heal me. As a matter of fact, he showed up and showed out and healed him off of the strength that he knew that the people, the powers that be, were observing him. What about the man who wanted the centurion servant healed? Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I remember when I read that scripture, it talks about how he went to Jesus to ask Jesus to heal his servant, but he didn't want Jesus to come to his house because he felt that he wasn't worthy, but he recognized the peace there. But you a man like me. You a man of power and authority. So come. I mean, send the word, and I know that he'll be healed. But let me tell you something. This is why you always got to read all the gospels, the synoptic gospels. Go ahead, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He did send the Jesus to hell, but he literally sent someone else. He didn't even go himself, people. But by sending someone to get some healing, he got that young man healed. Okay? So people that weren't even looking for healing were getting healing. And that's happening every single day. So what's going on in the church that we aren't being healed? Or we're getting healed, and as fast as we're getting healed, we're getting sick again. Once again, I'm not expecting you all to agree with everything that's getting ready to come out of my mouth, but I want to throw some examples out there to say, you know what, this should intrigue your mind. This should make you think. I believe personally that the reason why there is a lot of sickness in the kingdom is because we do not yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again. I believe the reason why there's a lot of sickness in the kingdom is because we do not yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And the one thing that we should have control over is the one thing that we're addicted to, and that's food. We're addicted to everything that we should not put into our bodies. And we do it with an attitude of, I can do whatever I want to do. Out of all of the spiritual groups out there, Christians are the ones that are the most lackadaisical about what they eat and what they do. You look at other people and you will see them. You could say that, you know, they're overly religious and their practices and they're dogmatic, but we look at them and we look how they live into old age. We look at their skin. We look at their weight. We look at everything about them and we say, wow, they're very healthy people. Okay, I know that there are some changes, okay, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And I do know that he said that whatever you do, that you receive it with thanksgiving. I do know that the word says, don't judge your brother in meat or drink. But I'm not talking about judging people. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with God so that you understand what you can and you cannot do. Think about it. Samson was special. The God had ordained a diet for him, Read the scriptures. Samuel, God ordained to die from him. John the Baptist, it said all he had was honey and locusts. What about the woman who lived in, that was always in the temple? It said there was a specific woman, an old woman in the Bible. It says, I believe she lived to be 80, and she saw Jesus when he was a child. And she was like, my life is complete now because I've seen the Messiah. But those scriptures say that she fasted every day of her life. Now, you know, did she do 6 to 6 every day with nothing but water? You know, I don't know. We're not even going to go there. I got my opinions about fasting. Actually, I got my scriptural references about fasting. Go back and look way back around maybe when I first started doing this almost a year ago and see the topic called the Daniel's fast. Is it the God-chosen fast or not? But anyway, but the point is, God must have dedicated something to these people's lives. And, you know, what I find is that we don't think that we're special enough, that God may have dedicated a special diet to our lives, okay? What do I mean? Okay, I know this gentleman. Okay, let's just back away. I mean, even though I didn't give you any scriptures, I gave you enough that you can Google. Remember, Google, withered man with a withered hand. Jesus heals the paraplegic. You can Google, you can research, you can find all of these things, okay? I'm not always going to babysit and say, go here. If you're thirsty for the word, I love you, but go find it. But let's just go forward. So I knew this young man. He's a young man, but he's an older gentleman. He basically was very, very, very obese, like we're talking 300-pound-like type obese. And he's a man of God. He's a minister. And he would go on these fasts all the time, or he would always say, I'm on a Daniel fast, and I'm not going to do nothing but just eat vegetables and fruit, and, you know, I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And every time I turn around, he'd be doing this. And he'd be excited because he's a diabetic. He might have lost 50 pounds. His dosage of his medicine might have decreased. His wife was all excited for him. After that would happen, he'd go back to eating what he was eating. And then it would all flare back up again. And you all know how it is when you get older. If you lose the weight, you put it back on, it come back with a big, with a force of a vengeance. It's like, ha, 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 ha. You try to get rid of me, you're going to have to lose more next time. Well, eventually, I'm like, okay, you know, when does this man realize that God ain't calling you to no periodic fast every once in a while? He's calling you to a lifestyle of living. Because, I mean, y'all know the people, even in their 50s. It's not just when their metabolism fast when they're 22. You know the person that you can sit there and look at them wolf down a cheeseburger, and it goes right out there behind. It's the only place it could be going, because when you eat a cheeseburger, you lift your arm up, and it's, you know, your booty, your side, you see the difference. Okay, so it's like, okay, you keep getting these radical transforming results every time you change your diet. And he would be like, I want an air popper so I don't make my popcorn anymore with grease. And I want a juicer so that I can juice more. And all of these different things. Well, I decided to be a blessing to this individual and got him a juicer. But my thing is that with doing something of that magnitude to someone, you should also, it's a ministry opportunity. Remember, we talked about ministry before. Quit making it look like it's always got to be you serving on a board at a church. So what I did is when I bought the individual the juicer, I also went and bought a plethora of groceries. Juicing could be very fun, or juicing could be a headache. And I said, okay, well, here are some things that are pleasing to my palate, and I believe that most of the America would like. So I showed them the eye opener, you know, with carrot, orange, and strawberries, which, trust me, is absolutely delicious. So we messed with the green vegetables and fruits and green apples and kale and lemon and ginger and all of this stuff. And I made them about like 6 or 7 different drinks. But in addition to that, I sat down and I talked to them and I said, hey, you know, I don't want to get in your personal business, but I really think you need to seek the Lord's face. He keeps calling you to things and bringing information to your awareness because he's letting you know what he does not want in his body, in his temple, and it doesn't work for you. So the bottom line is I watched this man go up and down through this process for probably about 3 or 4 years. I have not seen him since I left St. Louis, but I am glad to say that finally it registered. And he has declared himself a vegetarian, and he has lost, well, when I left, he had lost well over 70 pounds. and he had been dedicated no matter what it took to walking every day and doing what it was that he needed to do to get control of his body back. You know, a lot of the healing that Jesus did, it was instantaneous. But you know what? There were some people, with one of the guys that was blind, after he put the mud case on his eyes, he was like, okay, now go. Go and rinse your eyes off. You know what? Sometimes there be, and he told us specifically where to go rinse them off at. Guys, sometimes there's steps that we have to take and we have to push. So stop receiving any and everything in your body with a spirit of thanksgiving and then going up to the altar, raising your hands, crying and boo-hooing because you found out that you were diabetic and hoping that Jesus will heal you when you need to just do what he told you to do. How many of you know about the king, Nahum, who wanted to go to Elijah because he was a king, but he was a leper? And he's like, this great man of God should be able to heal me. And when he went, he was pissed. Because Elijah didn't even come out to see him. He sent somebody else out to see him and told him, you know what? Tell him to go dump himself in the River Jordan 7 times and he'll be healed. And the king was like, I got better rivers where I come from. What I got to go dip in this dirty water for? I'm going back home, but he wasn't healed. If it wasn't for the little servant girl that he had that happened to be a child of God that said to him, you know, you need to listen to what the man of God said. When he did what he was told to do, when he took the steps that he was told to take, then he was healed. What about the woman with the issue of blood? Yes, she sought physicians for many, many years. But even if it meant dragging and crawling through the thronging crowds to get to the hem of his garment, there was effort, there was a push, there was something that was done to get the healing. So my thing is, you already know, most of you, that there's certain things that when you taste them or eat them, you're going to have the wrong kind of reaction. Some of you are numb to it because you've been eating and drinking and doing what you've been doing for so long you can't tell. But if you did it for real fast and cleansed yourself and came back and introduced foods gradually, you would really see what kind of effect they have. So see, I'm going to tell you something. Other religious groups, they have a better handle on health. I remember when I was young, I was really 16 and a half, 17. That's when I decided to walk away from the church. I want to study with the Nubian Nation of Islam, and I want to be, you know, which is a Muslim sect. My family thought I was crazy. I mean, my grandma was mad. You know why? Because all my life she'd been raising me, and we would wake up in the morning. She'd make cream of wheat and bacon and eggs and sausage and toast for Sunday morning breakfast. And when it was time for special dinners, she used, you know, a salt pork or a ham hocks and a greens. And I don't want them anymore because I don't eat pork. But I also changed a couple other things too. Got away from some of the sugar, got away from the salt. And, you know, they would be, I've been raising you on this all your life. You better, I said, look, even if I wasn't a Muslim, I still wouldn't eat it. I said, because, and this was me. Skip the spirituality. I was 100% practical, but it still made sense. I said, why am I going to sit here and fill my body up with the very thing that if I get sick, is what's the top three things the doctor going to tell you need to reduce in your diet? Your pork, your salt, and your sugar intake. So why I got to wait till I'm 45 and thought I was in my prime to end up being weak and unhealthy when I can do it now when I'm a teenager and go ahead and start taking care of my body now? You know, it was like World War One with my family when I did that. That was like, here, if that's what you're going to do, August, I'm going to buy you a Quran, the whole nine, blah, 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 whatever, that was, you know, supportive. Everybody else was like, okay, you lost your mind. But I was like, oh, well, you know, my granddaddy, he said, look, N-I-G-G, you know what, you say that because you ain't never been hungry before. He said, get hungry enough and we'll see what you eat. I ain't talking about hungry people. I'm talking about people with choices. God bless my grandfather, but that still tickles me to death today to think that he said that to me. He was a straight arrow. He like, don't you remember what Peter? God said, don't call anything that he made unclean. I was like, okay, Grandpa, I love you. You keep eating the pork, but I'm not. You know, so, but anyway, you know, I kind of went off on a tangent. I had me a moment of nostalgia. My grandfather is deceased now. It's all good, but I just had a memory. But going forward, a lot of other religions, when you look at them, they'll pull your Bible out at you. And the first thing we'll do is say, well, everything that you're reading is in the Old Testament. But honestly, a lot of people who, like, go by the Mosaic Law, that follow those diets, that do the legumes and the nuts and the fruits and stuff like that, you know what, and other religious sects, because a lot of other religions use the Bible for reference material. We are the one religion that says the word of God is all that we need. But I'm going to tell you something. I read the Bible more as a Muslim than I did as a Christian until I really got a passion and a heart for God. They, like, use the word of God as their reference material to justify why we shouldn't be doing certain things. And I'm going to tell you something. If you go back and read Genesis chapter 1, it's like verse 29. Ooh, I finally gave you a scripture. It even says in the word of God that originally God said that he gave you every seed-bearing item and fruit for meat. That was your nourishment and that was your food. It didn't say that he gave us the fowl of the air and the beast of the field to eat. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of space and void in what happened between then and a couple chapters later when we also were able to eat meat too. But I'm going to tell you, it's just like with marriage and divorce. There are a lot of things that God will allow, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he agrees. God hates divorce, but he will allow it. So just because you can eat meat or you can eat certain foods, that's really not the question. The question is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you about what you're putting in your body? What have you been convicted about that you still won't push away from the table? You know, sometimes it's something more than an alcoholic beverage. Alcohol really destroys the metabolism. For some people, it doesn't have that big of an effect on it. But it may be having an effect on you. And if it is, let it go. You know, the reason why sometimes I think it's hard for us to convert with certain things in the kingdom of God is because of the way that people approach us with it. Because, like, for instance, a lot of people don't in the kingdom, they don't drink, and they don't drink at all. And it ain't necessarily because of no health reason. It's just because after they got saved, they was like, they read a scripture in Proverbs that say refrain from strong drink. They read something in Timothy where it was talking about if you want to be a bishop that you shouldn't drink at all. And you know, they read the thing about the drunkard should not inherit the kingdom of God in Corinthians and so on and so forth. And so then they went deep in with it. And so now, unfortunately, they look at every other Christian and have a sip of something like, you ain't all the way saved and you ain't all the way right because you drink. When at the end of the day, when you do a detailed study of the word of God, you can drink, but you shouldn't be sitting here overly absorbed with it. You shouldn't be drunk off of it. You should be sober-minded, so you should be doing things that don't have you looking all scatterbrained, all because you got a little bit of wow up in your system. Because even the scriptures say that with a deacon, see, with the bishop, you know, I'm going to get technical with you, and I did do a whole episode on alcohol itself. But the scripture said in Timothy that the bishop should not be given to any wine. And the scripture said about the deacons that they should not be given to much wine. So there are people in the kingdom that, yes, we should not be looking at them like, oh, what? You know, if you see me and my husband and we sitting out at the Olive Garden and I decide to have a glass of Moscato with him, don't be, oh, I ain't listening to her radio show no more because August is a drinker. You know, no, now you're being judgmental. But the thing about it is, if God were convicting me and saying, hey, August, I don't care if it's once a year, I just don't want no lick up in your body, that's personal, and that's between me and my daddy, and I need to listen to him because there's something that he knows about me, that there's a trigger or a snap that needs to be turned off, and I need to listen to him, okay? So take the time to know what the Holy Spirit is telling you, to know what it is that you need to do with your body to make sure that you govern it accordingly as it pertains to what you eat. Now, I want to also throw this in here. I've went through a lot of changes with my diet. I remember, oh, God, I think it was 2.5, maybe 3 years ago, I took on a challenge to be a vegan. And a lot of times people throw vegan and vegetarian out there. If you're going to do the vegan thing, you don't use any added oils. You hardly ever cook anything. You don't have to be a raw food eater to be a vegan. There is a such thing as a raw food vegan. But I went all out. And I'm going to tell you guys something. I noticed my life and my world changed drastically. I mean, I literally woke up in the morning like I took some kind of upper. I would get up and I would juice my ginger and apple and cucumber and kale. Trust me, it actually tastes really good. You got to know the proportions, though. I would sit there and make my eye open a drink, and I would be like, oh, this is good. I was like, good morning. I make my salads, and I got everything in them, sunflower seeds and red and yellow bell peppers and tomatoes and cucumbers. And, you know, I just was loving it. But there really was a change in me, in my mode. I mean, I'm a naturally energetic person, so can y'all imagine me? I was like, I'm telling you, like I was on some uppers, and my family was looking. I was like, this stuff is so good. But you know what else I did in addition to that? I watched documentaries like Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, Forks Over Knives, Food Matters, and I shared that information with other people that I met, and the reason being was because a lot of times, you know what, some of us, we can make decisions hardcore off of faith and just run with it, but sometimes some of us need a little extra push. And at the end of the day, educating yourself is what helps keep you connected to that type of diet. I mean, think about it. I mean, let me break it down to you like this. See, we can hear about Jesus, and on that one day when he knew that we would really need him, that person could come and witness to us about the joy and the love of God, and we can feel his presence and his spirit, get convicted and accept him as our personal Savior, go to the church, get baptized, and really be excited about a relationship with God. But if that's where you stop at, or all you do is just like go to church and listen and go home, then you will do what a lot of Christians do, have these moments where you're in the church, you're not in the church. You're in the church, not in the church. No, you saved, you ain't sure if you saved. You rededicating your life back to Christ, or you consider yourself to be a backslider. It isn't until we reach that point in our lives where we really know that we want a relationship with God and we seek his face for ourselves that we truly become / stay saved, even in our own mind. And it's the same thing with taking care of your body. You can hear something today and be like, man, ooh, she didn't hit a spot because this is something I've been dealing with. I'm tired of being this size. I'm tired of having shortness of breath going up the steps. I'm tired of not being able to keep up with my kids. I'm tired of taking these pills. Whatever it is, I'm tired of my mood being different. And why does everything have to have a diagnosis with a pill instead of a diagnosis with some food? Like Hippocrates says, let food be thy medicine. I'm tired. Tired as you are, and as good as this may sound, you may for 2 seconds feel like doing something different, and you might even keep it up for a week, at the most 30 days, and then you will lose it again because you have to develop a relationship with the idea of being a good steward over your body. I'm going to tell you guys something. People that are really deep into this, I don't care what it is. I know individuals that have, you do the research, you look at the videos for people that have been declared to have ADHD, it's in their diet. People that have manic depressants, a lot of them has been changed with their diet. People that have dealt with obesity in the diet, high blood pressure in your diet, cancer. It's people that don't even believe in God, but at least they drink cherry juice to do whatever they're supposed to do. They got cancer and say they kept a positive attitude. You see them on TV all the time, and they got healed. Come on now. Half of what we deal with is in the kingdom of God is because we won't be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us about what we should and we should not put in our body. And we don't feel comfortable enough, and our swag ain't high enough for us to say, you know what? Hey, no. I don't want to even keep the potato pot. Yeah, I know my mama been making it all my life. But, you know, sweet potatoes are good for me. But after all of the sugar, the butter, the cinnamon and nutmeg and all that other stuff, and you mix it around, it's really not anything healthy anymore. It's just a disastrous sugary treat. Sorry to rain on your parade, but you should have just accepted the fact that I said I didn't want a piece of pie. You see what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you may need to go ahead and go there with people. If people don't want to understand where you are, then help them. And then they get mad because now you put something on them to make them question what they're eating. You know, but the bottom line is this. Come on, people. Let's get control of our bodies. In 1 John, he said, beloved, above all things, he said, I want you to prosper and to be in good health as your soul prospers. So part of your health prospering and your soul prospering has to deal with your soul prospering. Let's seek God. Let's seek his face and see what it is that he wants us to do with this body, this temple that he gave to us, so that we can begin to experience health on a whole nother level. And for those of us, you know, I'm not saying don't go to the pastor and don't get in a line for healing and stuff like that. All I'm saying is that once you do, go and sin no more. Go and don't treat your body that way anymore. Treat it good and take the necessary steps to maintain that healing. Because don't get it twisted. So the whole point of this show was not to say that until you get your diet right that you can't seek a miracle. No, you go ahead, and if you, God is leading you, get your miracle now, but be a good steward over the miracle when he gives it to you. So that's pretty much my synopsis on health, loving your body, treating it good, eating right, and understanding that it's not about what I'm saying. It's about what God is saying. You know if he's telling you to put the sticker down. Stop it. You ain't addicted to chocolate, and it ain't that beneficial. All that stuff about how I help you with your cramps. I'm telling you, want them to tell you what help you with cramps? Green vegetables, okay? A good diet, yes, ma'am. It will make you light on your feet. I had my menstrual up, so I added something in again. I'm almost like a regular preacher. I'll be down in 5 minutes. Just give me 5 more minutes, and then I'm still talking. But let me just tell you this. I've never been a woman that's had hard cycles. But during my 90-day challenge to be a vegan, other than the fact that I had to deal with that womanly issue that reveals itself, we call our auntie or whatever we get the name, my cycle was virtually invisible. I felt no headache, no fatigue, no stomach cramps, no bloating, ladies, not even any bloating, okay? So, yeah. All these man-made excuses, that's like half of these man-made foods. Let's put them down. So I was watching, you know, through the lines periodically to see if we had any callers, you know, with any questions or any comments. Nobody popped up, but I am pretty much getting ready to close. I think it was pretty much a straight arrow. I think we definitely got some food for thought out there. If you got something to say, talk to me. Love it, hate it, agree, disagree, question, comment, push one. You know, I'm always wanting to give people an opportunity to, you know, see what's on your mind. So, and we got one. Let me bring the caller on. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Good morning. I want to start by telling you thank you for that piece of information because I didn't know that alcohol actually stops your metabolism or slow it down. First time I ever heard it.
Yeah. I'm a, you know me, I'm a Googler and a researcher, and it can and it does. Like I said, certain things, they help, they hurt or hinder different people in certain ways, but, yeah. And then, like, for the men out there that may be beer drinkers, you know, the yeast in it, you know, even in the beer, you know, there's a lot of components, whether it's beer, whether it's alcohol, there are things that can have some negative side effects. I would encourage you to research it a little bit further to see exactly what it can do. But I want to bring this out to not in addition to what you just said. It just hit me. Not everybody – I'm not really one to refer people to diets because then it sounds like it's a temporary thing. When I say diet, I mean lifestyle. For people that have jacked up their metabolism, whether it's been because of just starving yourself because you don't eat, you know. I just get to going, you know. I don't even understand why I'm this weight because I only barely eat one meal a day, you know. You basically told your body to hold on to everything you do eat because you ain't going to never eat again. So it ends up having a reverse effect. and your metabolism gets shot. It doesn't understand what to do when it gets food, how to process it, how to burn it, how to store it. It just says, I'm going to store everything. And so it ends up having, you know, a very bad effect, even for people that don't eat that much. But there's this woman out there. Her name is Haley Pomeroy. I wish I was looking at the book right now, but she has a book called Fast Metabolism Diet. It is a book that I highly encourage that, you know, individuals read. She has some pretty good recipes in there, too, but it talks about a series of steps in the way that you eat in order to get your metabolism back on track. And I also I've seen that be of good effect. So since I did bring up destroying your metabolism, it doesn't have to stay destroyed. It doesn't have to stay slowed down. It can be picked back up and put back to normal. I just wanted to share that she's a person who has her degrees and has worked as personal trainers, and she is in nutrition. She's also worked in agriculture, so she knows about the byproducts and corn and stuff like that. She knows a lot. And she's done a lot with making animals gain weight, lose weight, human beings gain weight, lose weight. She's worked with a lot of people. She has a really, really good book. So I would encourage you and anybody else to read that. Again, her name is Haley Pomeroy. I want to say it's H-A-Y-L-I-E. And her last name is P-O-M-R-O-Y. And the name of it is called Fast Metabolism Diet. So I didn't know if you had anything else to say, but I just wanted to throw that in.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, everybody, I am done. I wanted to just be quick and to the point. Sometimes you know how I am. Sometimes it gets a little hectic, and we are on the air together for quite a while. I just pray that the words that God has given me to give to you have truly been beneficial. Bless us walking the kingdom together and get healthier and wiser about the way we treat our bodies. Thank you all for joining in, and we will see what we will have next week. Love you all. Bye-bye.